Welcome to Carting Truth Podcast, a father-daughter duo focusing on sharing revelations through conversations with the Lord. Let's get started with today's episode. Hello, and welcome to Carting Truth Podcast. I'm Lindsay, here with my dad, Shane. And today we are talking about the two witnesses as talked about in Revelation chapter 11. So we have a lot of fun things for you today to tie in together, and I'm going to leave it to my dad to explain this revelation.
All right, so in order to understand who these two witnesses are, we'll have to go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. There was two trees, the tree of life, tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil is basically the law.
Right.
And the tree of life is basically Christ, the grace of God.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So we need to know those two aspects because that's basically what these two witnesses are sent here to do. All right. To clarify that. So let's move on down. As we come on down, we'll get into Deuteronomy. And this is, these verses are basically showing the blessings of the land, which becomes metaphors for the land, for the people of Israel. So would you read that? I think it's Deuteronomy, what is it?
8:7 and 8:8.
Yeah, read that.
Okay. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat, barley, and vines, fig trees, pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey.
Right. So in the passages that speak about these two witnesses, Zechariah 4, and also Revelation 11. Okay, this passage in Deuteronomy is speaking of the blessings of the land, and it names several, but the two main ones that it names is the olive tree and the fig tree. And those will be used as metaphors for the people of Israel. The olive tree is used by Paul when it says that we're grafted into an olive tree, and the fig tree is used by Jesus in the end time passages. So while we're concerned with this, it's because it's telling us that these two witnesses are olive trees, and we will see that very soon. And I think you got a list of all the things. Why don't you go ahead and read that list of all the things that we have. I'll put a summary together of all the things, and you'll have to go read Zechariah 4, the whole chapter, and Revelation 11, I think it's 3 through 12. And all these aspects that she's about to read to you are part of the anointing and part of the call of these two witnesses. So go ahead and read those.
Okay. Comparing Zechariah 4, yeah, in Revelation 11. They are olive trees. They are candlesticks. Oil comes out of them. They stand by the Lord and before the God of the whole earth. They witness 1260 days, which is 3.5 years. Fire proceeds out of their mouth. They can stop the rain. They can smite the earth with blood and plagues. They will be killed. 7,000 men will be killed after their death during an earthquake.
Right. Now, the oil coming out of them, that's speaking of the anointing that they have, okay? So they're anointed. So both of these individuals have been anointed at some point in their life, all right? So some people say that Enoch is one of these two witnesses. Well, he's not. The reason being is that he never was part of the olive tree. He never was part of Israel. All right?
Okay.
Plus, God said this about him. He said he was translated that he not see death. And both of these guys die. So God would have to change his mind about Enoch.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Enoch cannot die because God translated that he not see death.
Right.
And both of these guys die.
Okay.
A lot of people say, well, that's why, you know, it's pointing the man wants to die. But God said, I translated him that he not see death. All right. So God would have to change his mind, and okay, he doesn't change his mind.
That is a really good point.
About that. All right. So we're going to eliminate Enoch right off the bat because he's not an olive tree, and he can't die.
Okay.
So we move on down. We see the blessings of the land. They're called olive trees. The candlesticks is what Jesus is talking about in Revelation. The candlestick represents the church. All right.
Okay.
And a lot of people say, well, the church was created at Pentecost. Well, it wasn't. The church is the group of citizens called out of the city into a gathering place. Well, that actually happened before Gentiles were ever brought into it. So yeah, the church was called into the meeting place in the center in Jeremiah. Read that passage in Jeremiah.
Okay. Jeremiah 4:5, declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land, cry, gather together and say, assemble yourselves and let us go into the defensed area, cities.
Right. So that's the first time the church was ever called. And that church, whenever you call the church together, you blow the horn and they all gather together. That's what church means. That's what the church is. It's the gathering of the citizens into an area. All right. Now, that could be to go to war. That could be to anoint a king. That could be to have a herald or somebody make a proclamation to them. It could be any of those things. But the church existed way before Pentecost. And Jeremiah is demonstrating that.
Okay.
So the third thing was is that oil comes out of them, which is a metaphor for anointing of the Holy Spirit. So Moses and Elijah both were anointed by God to do and had a calling. And the gifts and calling of the Lord are without repentance. So these guys will have this anointing forever. All right?
Okay.
And we will see by reading that story, and we're going through that now, what their anointing is. And later on, we'll see that they do the very same thing. These two witnesses do the very same thing that Elijah and that Moses did. All right?
Okay.
We'll see that here in just a few minutes. So, both of them were anointed, and they both anointed somebody else. I think you've got those verses there.
Yeah. So we're reading from Leviticus and 1 Kings. So Leviticus 8:10, and Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was therein and sanctified them. And then 1 Kings 19:15 says, and the Lord said unto him, Elijah, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria.
All right, so both of them were anointed, and they passed their anointing on to others, all right? So these are the two anointed ones. These are the two olive trees that stand before the Lord of the whole earth, which we'll get into just in a second. Okay, so item number four, the fourth thing is, they stand before the Lord and before the God of the whole earth, all right? So the Lord and God of the whole earth is Jesus, all right? He's God in flesh. So once you read John 20:28. Yeah.
And Thomas answered and said unto them, my Lord and my God.
So Thomas calls Jesus Lord and God. All right, he calls him that. So we've got that established. Now, where in the whole Bible does two people stand before the Lord of the whole earth? Because that's what the fourth one says. That's what it says in both Zechariah 4 and in Revelation 11. That these two witnesses, these olive trees, stand before the Lord of the whole earth. So where does that take place? Well, that takes place in Matthew 17 at the Transfiguration. So why don't you read the Transfiguration verses there?
Okay, so Matthew 17:1-5. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and the raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. And answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? If thou will, let us make three tabernacles, one for three and one for Moses and one for Elias.
Okay, so first of all, Elias is a Greek Hellenization form of Elijah. Okay, so as Moses and Elijah appears before Jesus, the Lord of the whole earth, as he's transfigured, showing that he's the Lord of the whole earth. This is the only place in the Bible that we see somebody stand before the Lord of the whole earth when in his glory, and that's on the Transfiguration. Now, Enoch never does appear, so we know that's not Enoch. Okay. So there's another witness that these guys are Moses and Elijah. So go ahead. And we'll go on to the next item. The fifth item, they witnessed for 1260 days. So that's the same amount of time that Elijah witnessed to King Ahab. Same amount of time. So he's already done this once. So the 1260 day witness is, now we were talked about this in episode number 3. All right.
Okay.
We had the last half, which was the tribulation period. All right. So now we're talking about the first half, which is the 1260 days that these two witnessed.
The harvest.
The harvest time.
Okay.
So what's happening with that? Well, what's happening is the gospel, according to Matthew chapter 24, right? has to be published in the whole world, and then the end will come. Well, the end is the tribulation period starting, which is starting in the middle. These two witnesses are preaching the gospel. So they're basically saying this. They're basically saying, hey, don't go back to the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the law, which is what Israel's doing in this time. They're building their temple. They're going back into the sacrifice. So these two witnesses are preaching them, don't do this. You know, same way that the book of Hebrews is telling us that not to go back to the old ways.
Right.
Or telling the Jews not to go back to the old ways. So these two witnesses are basically telling. And what better two witnesses than Moses and Elijah to warn Israel? Moses being the lawgiver, Elijah being the chief prophet. So these two guys have got the task of warning Israel during this time that they're building a temple, don't go back to this. And they do that for 1260 days. All right? And this 1260 days is the first 1260 days before the tribulation. It's the first part of the 70th week of Daniel, which is the harvest time. Because why? They are finishing out the gospel. After they get done preaching, and if you've not accepted Christ, you won't be able to. So they are finishing out. They are completing what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 24, saying the gospel will be preached and then the end will come. They are the one that finishes preaching the gospel. So why them? Well, because the gospel started in Jerusalem, it went to Samaria, then the uttermost parts of the world. Well, at this point, it has made its way around the whole world, and it's coming back to Jerusalem. All right? And they are the one that finished it out. The first people to preach the gospel will be Jews, and the last people to preach the gospel will be Jews, and it'll be these two witnesses. All right? All right, so the next item is fire proceeds out of their mouths. Now, that goes back to Elijah's anointing, all right? So when Elijah was on the earth, Ahab sent soldiers after him. And, you know, basically he said, and I'll put that scripture verse up on the screen. He basically said, if I'm a man of God, let fire come down from heaven. And it came down and consumed them. And he sent another 50 to them, and he did it again. So that anointing is anointing of Elijah. Each one of these guys have their own anointing. And so they both can accomplish these things. But the fire coming down, fire proceeding out of their mouth, that was anointing that Elijah had. Okay? So this is pointing to Elijah on this one too. Okay, the next item will be item number 7. They can stop the rain, which again is Elijah anointing. All right? And instead of reading it out of the Old Testament, why don't you go ahead and read James, where James talks about it in the New Testament.
Okay. James 5:17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months.
Yeah, so there's that anointing again. Remember, all these things are pointing to Moses and Elijah. Enoch did none of these things. And so the anointing of God is without repentance. So he anointed Moses and Elijah. And so far, all the things that these guys are something that Moses and Elijah has done while they were on earth, because it's part of their anointing.
Right.
All right. Number 8, they could smite the earth with blood and all plagues. So which prophet smote Egypt with plagues?
I'm going to say Moses.
And how many plagues were there?
10?
That's right. So this goes back to the anointing of Moses again. So both, all of these items is either Elijah or Moses has done it. So it's real evident that these two guys are Moses and Elijah. And so they smite. And if you look in the book of Revelations, you'll see where these 10 plagues are integrated inside even the book of Revelation. All right? So that's what's going on with these two guys. They smote the earth with the blood and all plagues, and that was the anointing. It was on Moses. Okay, so item number 9, they will be killed. All right? So we know that Elijah has never died. All right?
Right.
So for him to come back and die, he will be fulfilling, you know, and it was never said that Elijah would not see death.
Okay.
All right. So
right, like
so he can die. All right. The other one is Moses. Now, the weird thing about Moses is we see in Jude where Michael and Satan get in this fight over the body of Moses. And I asked the Lord about that. I said, didn't Satan have a pretty good argument about claiming the body of Moses? And the Lord said, well, you need to go back and look at what I gave to Adam. So I go back over and I start reading. It says that God gave Adam dominion over every living thing. And at this point, Moses is dead. So Lucifer doesn't have dominion over things that are on the earth that are dead. All right. Okay. And so that was an eye-opener there. And I'm sure, you know, that's why Satan was trying to lay claim to Moses' body, probably to make it some kind of a worship issue, you know, with the Jews, because Moses was so famous.
Right, right.
And Michael basically said to him, the Lord rebuke you. And so he took Moses' body. Now, I think he took Moses' body because he's going to put Moses back in there. Which, if you think about it, will be reversing. You know, Moses didn't get to go into the promised land because he smote the rock instead of speaking to it. And that rock was Christ, you know. And so God didn't let him go. But now he gets to go back into the promised land as one of these prophets. And he gets to prophesy for 1260 days. So that's what I think is going on with that. All right. The last thing is item number 10, 7,000 men will be killed after their death during an earthquake. So back in the days of Elijah, all right, there were 7,000 men reserved to God that did not bow or bend the knee to Baal. All right. And that's back when Elijah was complaining. I think I made that observation on another episode we did that Elijah had said, you know, they've killed all the prophets, and now that I'm the only one left, and they're after me, and God said, no, I reserved myself 7,000 men. Which is, this is the opposite thing going on. 7,000 men die in this earthquake. In Elijah's day, 7,000 men were reserved. In this instance, 7,000 men die. All right? So that's what's going on with these two witnesses. It's very obvious that these two witnesses are Moses and Elijah. Everything that Moses and Elijah did, everything that's pointing out about these two witnesses are pointing to Moses and Elijah. And they would be the best two witnesses to witness to the Jews that first half of the 70th week, which is the 1260 days. And they are basically closing out the gospel. That's why they're there. They're there to let the Jews know, don't build this temple. It's about Jesus. And they let the whole world know it's about Jesus. And they go through this process. And even in their death, they're prophesying about Jesus. Because Jesus said he was the resurrection, all right? So they die in 3.5 days. So with Israel, each day equals a year. Well, there's several passages about that. Even the prophecy of Daniel, each day equaled a year. Even the 70-week prophecy, each day equaled a year. And so in their death in 3.5 days, which would be 3.5 years, then Jesus comes back, which is the resurrection. So even in their death, they're prophesying. And it's just an awesome little story about the two witnesses.
Okay, so that was a lot, but that was a lot of really, really good evidence, biblical evidence to back up the two witnesses. But before we close out, why don't you do a recap of everything that we talked about as far as what the Bible says about the two witnesses.
Okay, well, the recap is they were both olive trees, which Moses and Elijah was, Enoch was not. They were both candlesticks. They were part of the church. They were part of Israel, which is what we got grafted into. We didn't replace, we got grafted into. And so Moses and Elijah was part of Israel. Enoch was not. They both were anointed, and they both anointed other people. Which Enoch, you might say he was anointed, but he didn't anoint anybody else. They both, Moses and Elijah, stood before the Lord of the whole earth on the Mount of Transfiguration. Enoch did not show up. So that was part of Zechariah 4 and also Revelation 11. They witnessed for 1260 days, which was the same amount of time it didn't rain, and the same amount of time that Elijah witnessed. Fire proceeded out of the mouth, anointing that Elijah had. They could stop the rain, which was anointing that Elijah had. They could smite the earth with all the plagues, the blood and all the plagues, which was anointing that Moses had. They would both be killed. Elijah hadn't died. Moses' body was preserved, so that I believe so it could be killed. And then 7,000 men were killed. And then, of course, with Elijah, 7,000 men were reserved. So all this is pointing to Moses and Elijah. Enoch is, it's not any of it pointing to Enoch. And Moses and Elijah, these two witnesses are there to witness, not to go back to the law.
Right.
But Christ is the way now. And Enoch was never around when the law was here.
Right.
And he never was around when Christ was here. All right. And he never stood before Christ like these two did. So we know that they're aware of who Jesus is because they were seen with him. So everything's pointing to Moses and Elijah. And rightly so, because they are there to say, hey, don't go back to the law. Christ is the way. And what better two people to speak to Israel and to warn them not to go back, and to close out the gospel, because the law and the prophets were speaking of the gospel. We're all looking forward to the gospel that Christ was coming. And even Moses said, hey, there's a prophet coming that's going to be like me, you know, and you should hear him. He even prophesied that. Okay, so we've seen that these two witnesses are Moses and Elijah. And I want to read this passage of scripture here in Malachi. It's in chapter 4, and it starts with verse number 4, and it's given us a heads up that these two truly are the witnesses. Malachi 4:4 says, remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all of Israel, with the statutes and judgments. And so it's mentioning Moses. It's telling us to remember Moses. And then he goes on to say, verse 5, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, which we have discussed earlier, that is the millennial reign. That's what the day of the Lord is. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So Malachi is telling us in this passage that Moses, to remember Moses, and guess what? Elijah's coming before this day.
If you are enjoying the content and would like to support our ministry, you can do so through Venmo or PayPal. Our handle is @CartingTruth, or use our QR code.
So yeah, it's evident, very evident, by all these factors that it's Moses and Elijah. There's no doubt in my mind about it, and that's what God revealed to me, that it was them, because of all the aspects and because the anointing that they possessed is being revisited here.
Wow, I think that's amazing how that all ties together, and it's been in the Bible the whole time. What a great revelation and a great piggyback to our last episode where we talked about the pool of Siloam. We are so thankful that you tuned in with us today. We welcome your questions, your feedback. Like and subscribe. And our email is cartingtruth@gmail.com. So we welcome any questions, any feedback, anything like that. We hope that you're enjoying the content, and we can't wait to be back with you next time. And we pray that you have a blessed day.